Good morning, Symphony Church. We are continuing in the book of 1 Samuel, and today I'll be reading for us Samuel chapter 14, verses 1 through 23. It's a long chapter. We're not going to read all of it, just up to verse 23, and I'll read that for us. One day, Jonathan, the son of Saul, said to the young man who carried his armor, "Come, let us go over to the Philistine garrison on the other side." But he did not tell his father. Saul was staying in the outskirts of Gibeah in the pomegranate cave at Migron. The people who were with him were about 600 men, including Ahijah the son of Ahitub, Ichabod's brother, son of Phinehas, son of Eli, the priest of the Lord in Shiloh, wearing an ephod. And the people did not know that Jonathan had gone. Within the passes by which Jonathan sought to go over to the Philistine garrison, there was a rocky crag on the one side and a rocky crag on the other side. The name of the one was Bozez, and the name of the other Sene. The one crag rose on the north in front of Michmash, and the other on the south in front of Geba. Jonathan said to the young man who carried his armor, "Come, let us go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us. For nothing can hinder the Lord from saving by many or by few." And his armor bearer said to him, "Do all that is in your heart. Do as you wish. Behold, I am with you heart and soul." Then Jonathan said, "Behold, we will cross over to the men, and we will show ourselves to them. If they say to us, 'Wait until we come to you,' then we will stand still in our place, and we will not go up to them. But if they say, 'Come up to us,' then we will go up. For the Lord has given them into our hand, and this shall be the sign to us." So both of them showed themselves to the garrison of the Philistines. And the Philistines said, "Look, Hebrews are coming out of the holes where they have hidden themselves." And the men of the garrison hailed to Jonathan and his armor bearer and said, "Come up to us, and we will show you a thing." And Jonathan said to his armor bearer, "Come up after me, for the Lord has given them into the hand of Israel." Then Jonathan climbed up on his hands and feet, and his armor bearer after him, and they fell before Jonathan, and his armor bearer killed them after him. And that first strike, which Jonathan and his armor bearer made, killed about 20 men within, as it were half a furrow's length and an acre of land. And there was a panic in the camp, in the field, and among all the people. The garrison and even the raiders trembled, the earth quaked, and it became a very great panic. And the watchmen of Saul and Gibeah of Benjamin looked, and behold, the multitude was dispersing here and there. Then Saul said to the people who were with him, "Count and see who has gone from us." And when they had counted, behold, Jonathan and his armor bearer were not there. So Saul said to Ahijah, "Bring the ark of God here." For the ark of God went at that time with the people of Israel. Now while Saul was talking to the priest, the tumult in the camp of the Philistines increased more and more. So Saul said to the priest, "Withdraw your hand." Then Saul and all the people who were with him rallied and went into battle. And behold, every Philistine's sword was against his fellow, and there was very great confusion. Now the Hebrews who had been with the Philistines before that time and who had gone up with them into the camp, even they also turned to be with the Israelites who were with Saul and Jonathan. Likewise, when all the men of Israel who had hidden themselves in the hill country of Ephraim heard that the Philistines were fleeing, they too followed hard after them in the battle. So the Lord saved Israel that day, and the battle passed beyond Beth-Aven. All right, so at this point in 1 Samuel, we know that Israel is locked in this perilous military engagement with the Philistines. The Israelites are vastly outnumbered, and furthermore, Saul, the king and the military leader, had just been told by Samuel that because of his sin, he had forfeited God's favor as the king. All in all, things are not looking too hot for the Israelites. But in the midst of all this, Jonathan, the son of Saul, kind of decides to go off and do his own thing. We read that he grabs his armor bearer and goes over to the Philistine camp on his own accord, separate from Saul and his army. And Jonathan believed with his heart that the Lord desired to bring victory to Israel. And he was willing to take a leap of faith into dangerous territory so that he could join God in what he was doing. Long story short, after the Lord confirms to Jonathan that he and his armor bearer would triumph over the Philistine encampment, Jonathan rushes into action and does the will of God. The two-man army kills just 20 men, but their small victory sets into motion a huge wave of confusion that would go on to cripple the Philistines. And we're told that through this, the Lord saves Israel that day. Jonathan shows a great deal of faith in the Lord here, as well as confidence that he was acting within God's will. It's clear that Jonathan has put his life in the Lord's hands and was walking not by sight and human wisdom, but by faith and full reliance on the Lord. He didn't look at the Philistines and say, "We're outnumbered, let's try to be tactical about this." Neither did he throw up his hands and say, "This battle is impossible, we are bound to lose." Now, Jonathan followed a very simple train of thought. He said, "If the Lord will work for us, if he's on our side, then nothing can hinder the Lord from saving us." You know, when I first accepted Jesus into my life, for a couple of years, I harbored this inner desire to just pack a bag and take a one-way flight all the way across the world. And to survive not having any money or plans or shelter, but just to fully rely on the Lord in faith that he would bring me to work powerfully in his will. Nowadays, I don't dream quite that big, though Lord willing, maybe one day. But I think as believers, we all want to experience that picture of daily faithful reliance on the Lord, just like Jonathan shows in this passage, don't we? We don't want to be like Saul, who just kind of sits there passively until Jonathan clears the path for him. We want to live the exciting, daring, abundant life with Christ that comes from completely trusting him. Of course, that's easier said than done. Honestly, we're probably more like Saul than we'd like to be most of the time, content to drag our feet and stay in complacency. So how can we be like Jonathan instead? How can we rise to the occasion and single-mindedly move to being God's will? How can we get to the point where we'd say yes to his plan, no matter how crazy it may seem? The answer to that isn't so simple that we can comprehensively cover it in this devotional, but I want to point out just a few small things that we see Jonathan do that helps him respond to God. First, Jonathan knew God's character. All of Jonathan's actions stem from something he knew about God, that he would work for his people. That understanding led him to be confident that he was acting in God's will. Second, Jonathan placed himself in a situation that required the Lord's help. Now, Jonathan was daring, but I don't think he was an idiot. You know, anyone would know that two men going up against 20 is generally not a feat that's achievable by man. Yet, he faced the challenge because he knew that it wasn't something that he could accomplish. It was something that only the Lord could and that he needed his help on. And lastly, Jonathan confirmed his understanding of God's command. This is a point that's stressed a lot in the Experiencing God course we take together at our church. And we see that Jonathan is wise enough to have confidence in his understanding of God, but still be humble enough to test and confirm it. He didn't just say, "I think God's going to help us," and then storm into battle. Instead, he and his armor bearer looked for the sign of the Philistines telling them to come up to them so that they could be sure that it was God's will that they were acting on, not Jonathan's. So in summary, Jonathan knew God's character, he placed himself in a situation that required the Lord's help, and he confirmed his understanding of God's command. Not to give you a three-step plan or anything like that, but I do hope that we can continually do these things, today even. It could be a bold step of faith as you reach out to your coworker and ask them to talk about Jesus. It could be committing to starting an accountability group with one or two friends. It could even be deciding to lovingly but firmly rebuke a roommate. Whatever it is that the Spirit might suggest to you as you meditate, I encourage you to actually do it, to actually take that step of faith and to experience God. You know, a question I'd like to ask to end our time is, when was the last time you truly allowed God and God alone to dictate your next steps? When was the last time you decided not to listen to your comfort or your wisdom, but the voice of God? I hope that you can take that step of faith today. Let's pray. Lord, we ask that you continue to mold us and to refine us. Lord, we want to live this life that is just full of knowing you and doing your will and laying down our understanding of this life and reality and training it for yours. So God, help us. Would you transform us through the renewing of our mind? Help us to be more like you and to stick by your side. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.